See, God's not surprised by our confusion. God is not thrown off. He's subject. That's how he's the author. He's subject, all of us, to the word frustration. Galatians says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. There's something in us that is frustrating. And the word that he used there that, man, was so powerful was the word discernment. Because that's the thing that I think we lack. It's in that moment. It's not about what God permits, causes. It's that we move at his voice. So I'm going to keep the flow going. This next man is a man that has had a lot of influence on me. He shares a lot of things the Father speaks, and it's Leon Fancher. Can you come? And after him, it is an honor for him to be here. He is known in this city as the pastor of pastors. People think they really know how to take care of people and function. This man doesn't know. He knows the message of grace, but he knows how to function in it, which is something we definitely need to know. Leon?
Where is he from?
Thank you, Mark.
Right here,
I'm from right here. And Russell, about 2 minutes away from here. It took me about 2 minutes to get here this morning. I want to welcome you to Russell, Arkansas, all of you. You may not know it, but this is a significant thing happening in Russell, Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
God has his finger on this place, and it started to... Well, my connection with Ronnie happened when I was in Clarksville before we moved over here, and he's been... sharing dreams with me for 20 years, and he'll come in and sit down. I'm dreaming and something, I think this is what the Lord say. So anyway, I began to understand the importance of hearing from God. I was born and raised in the Church of Christ. It was a one-cup Church of Christ, even. And church
that's the best kind.
That's the best kind. Well, anyway. but after, and preached in it for about 20 years before I really knew the Lord, I tell people I received Jesus as Savior at 13 and I received him as Lord at 40. And that was after about the time just before I got out. But anyway, during that period of time, God did, even in that area, there was a lot of things that he taught. But after I did, I was sitting down at my office and I just praying, God, what do you want me to do now? I just beginning to understand that he will talk to us today.
Yeah.
Because we didn't think that. We thought everything was in the book.
Yeah, come on.
By the way, you know, there really are misnomers in the way they put that thing together. Because, you know, they label it Old Testament and New Testament. Oh, that's a misnomer. That book's not the New Testament, the New Covenant. You know, even when Jesus was here, he referred to the writings as what? The prophets? The law and the prophets. He didn't call it the Old Testament. The Testament was basically that God said, Moses, I'm giving you this, tell it to the people, and they, if they keep that, then I'll bless them. So the covenant, if you keep the law, so it was a covenant that was based, the foundation was the law. Now we come to the New Testament area. It's not a book.
Yes.
The covenant is Jesus and his living in us. Amen. And being in us and with us. But what I was going to say, as I prayed, I said, God, what do you want me to do now? And he showed me a vision. A little picture of it here. You can kind of see it here, but it really, what it looked like, only it was a real object that just appeared in the floor before me. It looked like somebody had taken rolls of paper, typing paper, rolled them up, put them in a bundle, and on each one of them was the name of a denomination. And he said, and I said, God, what is that? And he said, well, come up here and look at it from my perspective. And so it was just like all of a sudden I was transported up to the ceiling and looking down on this object. And it looked like there was little people in all of these circles. And he said, I want you to notice something. First of all, notice those walls are paper thin. I'd just ignore them. I'd have anything to do with them. But you notice I've got little people in each of these. And he said this was my call. That was in 72. If you'll see my people, it's amazing to me as I look back over my life, the times that God has used the word if. He's fixed to qualify something. If you'll see my people like I see them, I'll use you to help break down the walls between my people.
Yeah.
And then he said, I'm not just saying this to you, but every time you share this, and so I'm sharing it, anybody that sees my people like I see them, I'll use them to break those walls down and get rid of them.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
When I came to this city, God called me to come here to promote unity. And that's what I did for many years. But when I got here and I started to think about it, and God said, well, let me just tell you right off, unity is not going to happen unless there's prayer first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which, and really at that time I was thinking, well, we got to ask, but no, the real prayer is hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say nowadays that 90% of our praying should be listening and about 10% talking. He does like to talk with us. Mm-hmm. And he wants to talk with us, mm-hmm. not just to us. We have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's right.
In fact, let me just say right now, since the only thing that Jesus promised was the Holy Spirit, did you know he didn't promise another book?
Yes.
Did he?
No.
Take your liberty, Leon.
He didn't promise another book. If he would have, don't you think either he would have written it, or he would have had the apostles write it right after the day of Pentecost if he wanted us to follow a book? In fact, why would we want to follow a book when we can have the real writer and author of it living in us?
Yeah.
God lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Jesus lives in us. We can communicate with him anytime, anyway. Anymore, if I witness somebody, I just want to tell them, hey, would you like to know that the God of the creation wants to live in you? It's not but works. Lest any man should boast. You know, our nature is to boast. We want to be boastful because that's our nature. In fact, you know, it's really easier to live by law. For some people, they want to be under law because then they can boast. That's the pride, see?
That's good.
They want to boast in the flesh because they're still in the flesh. But after I was here, I want to share just another little testimony. I'm not sharing these to make me look good or anything, because God's the only one that's good. But I just want to share what I believe God wants to happen to this city and why you may be here for this particular time.
Yes.
Because something from this event is going to spread out.
Yes.
In this city. But I've been here a while. Well, to start with, he said, well, when he told me it's got to be prayer, and he said, so why don't you just walk the length and the breadth of this city and pray over it? So I thought, well, I can do that. So I went to the city limit sign and walked into the downtown. One day it's about 4 miles. Next day another one. So 4 days I'd walk the length and breadth of the city, and I prayed over all the business and everything. And it is really an exciting time. And I began to realize, and God in that time began to speak some things. But then later on, this was about 5 or 6 years ago, he said, it's time for you to walk around the city and pray over it. So I got me a map and I kind of drew out how it was going to go. And then I drove it. And it was 26 miles. And so I said, okay. And so I was making plans. He didn't say when to start, but I just started, planned it out. And I thought, well, I'll start on a Monday and I'll be through it. And I can do it in 7 days. And after I got started, it was kind of funny because after about the first day, he said, now you can probably do this in 6 days, and then you can rest on the seventh. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But anyway, so I walked the first day and the second day. The third day, and I might get a little teary in telling this, because when it comes back, the power of God is so strong. But he said, woke me up about 4 o'clock in the morning and said, you need to walk early this morning. And I said, well, okay. So I got up, told my wife, I said, well, I'm leaving to walk early. I always told her where I was going to finish, so she'd come get me and take me back to my car. Well, I started walking, and it started up on Skyline here, which is kind of up on the mountain here, or the edge back here. That's where I started. So I started walking, and where I was going along, it was really dark. There was no moon, and I was walking through a alley-like, but it was a street, out into and through an orchard that was up there. As I came out from that, and I was going straight east, right over the top of those trees was the most beautiful new moon I'd ever seen in my life. You could see the sun hadn't come up or hadn't had its effect on the earth. It was the reflection was just beautiful. but you can see the whole moon. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me. He said, this is what I wanted you to see. Because a new anointing is coming to this city.
Yes.
And the power of God just dropped me to my knees. And I worshiped the Lord and I said, God, thank you. Then later he said, that new anointing is an anointing for unity, real unity with me. And of course, what happened, I realized what I thought I had been orchestrating, God was orchestrating.
Yes.
And he had me start at the right time, had to be at the right day, yeah, walking east, to be at that place at that exact moment.
Yes.
And I realized that he had actually, without me knowing, I thought I had planned the time to start, but he had planned it because he wanted to show me that. So I do believe. And since then, and there is another article that we wrote here some time back. God began to deal with me about the city church. I'm going to put these back here. Or the mark right there. Anyway, if you'd like a copy, it's the concept of the city church. And I began to see from the scripture that in the first 500 years of the existence of the church after Pentecost, there was no government except city. It was known as no names for it, even though there were sometimes, you know, he referred to the Church of Christ, Church of God, Church of the Firstborn, different things. But it really didn't have a name, didn't have much of an organization, except cities. And if you remember, all of the references were the church in, you know, Ephesus, Smyrna, Rome, Corinth, all of those different places. And even when Paul wrote to Titus, it wasn't ordained elders in every church, which is what I thought it meant, would have read, but all of a sudden when I look, ordain elders in every city. This is the way I believe that God is going to begin to bring unity to fulfillment. We have got to get back to seeing the church as just people. Like he said, if you'll see my people like I see them, I'll use you. And he said at that time, wherever I have a son, you have a brother. Wherever I have a daughter, you have a sister.
Yes.
It's relational, not organizational. It's personal, not legalistic.
That's right.
It is positional and not performance.
Yes.
We are in Christ.
Yes.
We are in him. And we live and we move and we have our being. But again, as Ronnie was saying, we do need to hear from God. And I'm excited about what God's doing, but God will speak to us in many, many ways.
Yes.
I want to finish with just another little testimony of an if. We started the satellite business, and we sell Dish and DirecTV satellite systems, and we've been doing that for some time, but even with that, God began to show me some things about that too. But anyway, after I turned 66, about 10 years ago, because I'm 78 now, but I'm still working full time for the Lord. But anyway, I had a guy that was interested in buying it because I thought, well, it's time for me to get out maybe. I was getting kind of sick and tired of the satellite business. But so... I was trying to get some stuff together, and I said, Lord, is this guy for real, or am I wasting my time? He said, well, you're asking the wrong question. And I thought, well, God, what question should I be asking? He said, well, let me remind you, you've been telling me all along, which this is true, because we named the business Morning Star after that scripture revelation that said Jesus is the bright and morning star. So if Jesus is Lord of my life, well, you know, if he's given me ability to have a business, then it belongs to him too. So I always told him, this is your business. So he said, well, you asked the wrong question because you ought to be asking me if I want to sell my business. I said, oh, yeah, God, you're right. I did. I'm sorry. I repent. I shouldn't have been thinking I could do it. But anyway, so I thought he just wanted to know what we'd do with the money. So I said, we'll give it to wherever you want it to go. And so I thought that would be it. So I said, okay, God, do you want to sell your business? He said, no, I've got plans for this business. If you'll trust me and listen to me and do what I tell you to do, I'll show you how fast and how big I can grow my company. And this little guy that thought he was getting old and kind of turned to talk, boy, this might be exciting. So, but the short of it, because I can spend 30 minutes with the detail of this, but the short of it is this. We were selling about 20 dish systems a month. In 4 months, remember what God said, if you'll trust me, listen to me. And he'd wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. That was his wake-up time, usually 4 o'clock, to give me my instruction for the day. And he gave me some detailed things. Anyway, in 4 months, we were doing 400 systems a month. Now, that's 20 times in 5 months. I never heard anybody ever say a business could grow that fast. But it can when God is in control.
Yes.
And what God's going to begin to reveal to business people, because we're going to need lots of money to do what God wants us to do in this city. I tell you what he's been telling me. It's time for the church, and if the church were united, we could do it, but it's time for the church to take over the welfare program of this country.
Yes.
We're going to hell in a handbasket if we don't do something pretty quick.
Yes.
And God can help, and I believe he will, if business people will, that say they belong to the Lord, if they'll give it to him, he can show us that we can raise the funds and the money that's needed to take care of the welfare program, the retirement programs, and every program that there needs to be funds can be handled.
Yes.
If everybody really gives their whole thing, their self and everything to God.
Amen.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today. Mark,
you know,
thanks.
Said that verse about in me you'll find eternal life. The word the Lord gave you.
In John writes, and he says, that I write these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, see, a lot of people think that eternal life is, but eternal life is just God life.
Right.
It's God life. And so he said, I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life. And then it went on to say that this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Now that is pretty simple. If you got Jesus, you got it. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have it. And then let him work out the details, because he will, and he will help us. And here a while back I was praying, asking God, well, what's, you know, why is there so much, you know, division in the churches? Why can't we get close together? He said, well, let me just remind you that I never promised another book. I heard that, felt like from the Lord.
Yeah.
And then I began to realize, yeah. And now that doesn't mean that that's not right. You know, all scripture or all truth is true, but not all truth is of equal importance. It's all truth, but it's not of equal importance. Not near as important that Methuselah lived, you know, 1,000-something years as it is that Jesus came and died for us. Quite a difference there. So the problem, see, with a book, this is why Jesus didn't want us to follow in a book. He promised the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
First of all, any living language goes through changes. And what the King James, you know, it was so mistranslated in a lot of ways, just like baptizo should have been translated immersion. And it would have been probably if it had been translated by somebody that was listening to God instead of trying to be king of England. He knew he couldn't translate immersion because they lived in sprinkling. So, you know, all of those kind of things can happen in a book. But if we've got Jesus that we can talk with, that's what we need.
Yes. Yes.
God bless you.
Bless you.
Here again, I thank Leon here for the round table. And I mean, these guys are so dynamic. I wish I'd give them more time. And I apologize for... If Ronnie, did you have anything else? Did you feel in any way rushed or anything?
I'm good.
Me too. I wanted you guys to be able to hear these guys, because I'm telling you, you know, with these two here, could you just imagine what the things that I dug into? Because these people are open, even as you're going into the restaurants, I'm telling you, these people are hungry. These people are constantly digging. The problem is that we've all got to argue here a lot about belief systems. And Willie said something, I'll close and we'll go to lunch. Kevin, if you want to come and
go ahead.
Dismiss for lunch. This is something Willie said to me. For one word Jesus, there's a thousand items that goes through people's head. The same way is that book. When people hear the word Bible, images that we have been ingrained in. And all I'm asking you today is not to say, is to share your view and be that satellite, but also have that point. And we really want you to just bear our heart. You know what? I'm really frustrated with this. I don't have the answers. Just really frustrated. We want to hear it. Because we want to be the place, and I want to say this, the calendar shows that we're here today. And we want, for those of you that are here, we want you to empower you, send you back into your churches. But all of our speakers are still here. And tomorrow we're going to be at the IHOP. We rented out a room from 9 to 11:30. And we're going to have Dr. Grady Brown speak. And it's going to be about truth and relevance. And so you can see this is going to be interesting. And but for those of you that have a fellowship, we understand. We wish we were all going to go kind of hang out with you, but we have all the speakers later on, so we're doing a presentation in the morning. I want to say that because it's not on the announcements. But if you've never heard Grady, he's in the morning because he's going to straighten all of us out, except for me, because I'm too far gone. Isn't that right, Grady? My lovely wife.
I don't need this microphone. I'm just going to dismiss for lunch.